What's up, everyone, and welcome into the Backliners Podcast, Aggro and Barracuda, as per usual. And Barra, I've cut half of you off because, as you might be able to notice,
that's my picture.
Okay, wait, hold on, I can figure this out. Hold on, I can figure it out. Nope, that's the wrong one. How about this one? Nope. Hold on, we're doing some, Oh.
You're okay. Like that teacher in high school that's just really bad with technology.
Bang! I'm like that teacher who's really bad with technology now.
Because oh, I teach you're so I'm good.
Still bad with technology.
Oh, we got it.
It's Aggro and Barracuda as per usual. This week, joined by the esteemed Dave Dolson Olson.
Am I esteemed?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right, fair enough.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, care? Happy to be here.
Would you call Dave esteemed?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He's steamy at the very least.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're talking
way
about.
Way to dial it down a bit. That's why it's a picture of me instead of me proper.
Right, yeah. Dave doesn't have a webcam. Dave, what was your lame excuse for not having a webcam again?
Well, I want to say the first one out loud because it involves my work webcam that they gave us. The second one, Ramsey chewed on when she was a puppy. I haven't bought the other one. No, I'll be honest. When I moved, you know, the little ring light attachment on the webcam from work?
I am aware.
It, like, broke off. So the ring light cannot attach to the tripod anymore, and the camera is on top of the ring light. So, yeah, if they ever need those back, I need to super glue it or something because it's...
Surely they will listen to this, though. Like,
no, never.
Not,
no,
that's
no,
not
no.
Gonna happen. Don't worry. If Dylan is listening, I don't know, something to distract you.
Pocket sand.
Right. Nice work, Dave. I was completely out of options. That's why Dave carries me on the cast on the regular.
Yeah, of course.
Fellas, phase three started up this week. Finally back to SPL action. Unfortunately, a few days before the patch went live.
Yeah.
Which is always love a little bit awkward. Yeah, it just stinks. You know, like because the scheduling is like laid out ahead of time. And obviously, like, we communicate, you know, esports communicates with the dev department on when these patches are going to be. But you'll recall that two patches or a patch ago, it was an extra week in that cycle.
Right.
And I think that might have thrown off our timing
for
phase three. Or it was always planned that way and it's just unlucky.
Man, we're just slamming excuses. First me on the webcam and now we're patch excusing. I mean, this is nuts.
What's next? Well, let me tell you, can I say that I didn't really get a chance to eat dinner, Dave, and that's why I'm...
I shouldn't tell you about the cheat meal I've just had.
Oh, what? No, I want to hear it. What'd you have?
I had 20 wings in medium sauce.
Ooh, medium. Okay, medium. Where from? Taco Mac? Let me guess.
No, the closest was B-dubs. Actually, do
you're
you guys know this?
Dave likes...
Well, it's just so close. And they have this thing. They have a...
We've been to Buffalo Wild Wings, and you've said, I think I like this more...
Don't use my own words against me. Don't do that to me.
Am I misrepresenting your space?
I'm sure I said it, but don't say that I said it
when I did.
No, they have these neat things. They're like B-dub, like walk-in things. They're not like full restaurants. So they're almost like they just have like cooks in the kitchen preparing their most popular things. And then you can walk in like, you know, in Chick-fil-A, you can look back into the kitchen. They have like the sandwiches stacked up and then like they just grab one and put it in the bag. They have like that, but with all their wings and stuff, they're like to-go. And one of those is really close to me. So I had 20 wings from there and then some fries tossed in there, Buffalo dry rub, and then a milkshake. So I'm happy about it.
That sounds very good.
It was.
Damn, you got the most out of your cheat meal this week for sure.
They're little protein pockets. So I'm staying on track with that at least, you know,
have you ever considered,
they're like little, balls of protein. Right.
You haven't heard, oh my God, Dave, this guy hasn't heard of protein pockets.
Protein pockets? Sorry. Unreal.
And I host a podcast with this guy? That is crazy.
Sorry, guys.
Barra, are you a, where are you on wings? Like, describe, I mean, I guess we could save this until the end for the random question of the week, because we both know that I don't have one set up.
Are you going to ask, like, favorite place?
No, because... You know, it should be like a small local place that makes the best wings, right? Like that's how it should be. I'm talking are you going wings or flats? What kind of sauce are you going?
So I don't care about wings or flats.
Okay, but which one do you think is better?
I don't care. Is that the beginning of that sentence where I said I don't care?
Right.
Surely it's not like a taste argument, right? It's all about apparatus, like delivery to the mouth. Like
right. And drums are easier. Think one is better.
Drums are easier to eat.
Yeah, okay, but they're both they're better? Fun to eat in their own different ways.
Mm.
Listen.
I don't like that groan from Dulce. Very condescending.
I'm judgy right now. You're right. Yeah. Only because Aggro has Derrick Henry, who just hung 45 points on me to win the fantasy football match.
Let's go. So. Dave and I have played against each other in fantasy football. I was going to bring it up later to make fun of you.
Got it. Damn, we're doing all the late game stuff right now. That's on me.
No, that's all right. You just have never casted before, so it's normal for you.
I'm so used to chair wanting. What's our next segment? I know. All right, let's move right on.
Yeah, I'm in charge here, Dave.
You're right.
I'm in charge.
I can kick back and do nothing for once. All right, you get take
to
see it away.
How easy it is to chair too. I'm trying to take it away, and you're preventing me from doing so.
Yeah. Shit. All right.
Barra, you were saying on how you don't have any, which is an impossible take, by the way. It's indefensible. But continue.
Yeah. Either one's good, and I mean, obviously vegan now, so I don't eat them anymore.
Sure.
But when I did eat wings, I didn't care which one was going into my mouth, because they're both...
That wasn't judgy.
Just groaning after every four words that I said.
It's saying that he's still invested in the conversation.
Right.
Oh, okay. Either one's good as long as they're hot barbecue wings. That's by far the best kind of wing.
Okay.
And ever the wing is below that. It doesn't matter, drum or flat. That sauce is just by far the best.
Okay, allow me to set the record straight. Flats are better than drums. It truly is.
Yeah, but why does there have to be a difference? Like, why does one have to be better than the other one?
Because. Isn't it kind of lame to just think all are the same, Barry? You gotta.
Haven't you seen Hamilton? You gotta take a stand on something. Don't be an Aaron Burr in the wing debate.
No one wants to be an Aaron Burr.
If you won't stand for anything, what do you die for, Barry?
Aaron Burr's like descendants watched. We're like, oh, I can't wait to see Hamilton. I have no idea what it's gonna be about. And they were like, what the hell is this? Like, we're just getting owned this whole time.
After the duel scene, they kind of tried to paint him in, like, a bright light, right? They're like, he brought his glasses. Like, surely he was trying to shoot me, right? You know, like, or no, are we fully, because the whole last song was about how Burr, like, his entire life had to live with
Hamilton owning him.
Right.
Right. No,
so, like,
I think
there's community sympathy for him now, I think.
I think so, too, but, like, do you think that the Burr family was like, I hope they bring us up once, and then they were like, right. Oh, my God, he's, like, the main character, basically. Like,
right.
It could have been called Hamilton and Burr.
Like, the opening song, he calls himself a fool and talks about how he shot Alex Hamilton. Yeah, that's
like,
probably
oh,
not.
This is going to be bad, dude. This is going to be rough. Bear, have you even seen Hamilton?
Yeah, so I've never seen it. No,
okay,
I
Okay, great. Mm.
I watched the first, like, whatever segment of it, and then I just didn't watch the rest.
Wait a minute, Barra, I gave you my Disney Plus login.
Yeah, I swear,
and
I watched
told
the
you
first
to watch
part
Hamilton,
of it.
And then you didn't?
Isn't it, like, 4 hours long or something?
It's fairly long.
It's like a movie length.
It's like 3 hours. It's like 3 hours.
Okay, 3 hours is a long time to sit there and watch this. The same thing. It was good. I just forgot about it, honestly.
All right, well, great. Now you can go and restart it from the beginning.
I've got My Hero to watch, so that will be.
I need to catch up on that too.
The new episode was good. We watched it. I watched it with Sam last night.
All right, I got to catch up.
It was solid. Dave, can you at least wait until we're done with the podcast?
No, I got my third monitor right here. Okay. My Hero. All right, go ahead.
All right, great. We should probably talk about Smite at some point here, fellas.
Oh yeah.
If we have to. Let's just start kind of, I think that we're going to have kind of more to talk about in terms of meta and stuff next week, obviously, with the patch coming in. So not that much like meta discussion, but I think a couple teams had some pretty interesting showings this week. And it honestly started early with the Valks, like, kind of looking competitive against the Jade Dragons for one game. That surprised me, at the very least. Barra, why are you laughing?
It's the way you worded that. Look, they almost showed up finally.
I think they tried. I think that they put actual, like, they put a real comp together, and then they played like actual Smite for a while, and excuse me, but that has not always been the case for times.
Okay. For Valks, I just know that they're always going to lose. So even if they get like a early lead or even if things start looking good, team fighting on that high of a ping is just impossible. Like you literally can't.
How can you say that and then laugh at the way I said something? That was way more toxic than what I said.
Well, mine's not.
He gave him an out. He said, here's why they have been playing bad.
Yeah. I think the ping has been a huge reason why they've been playing bad. It's not it's not 100% of the reason, but sure. It is a big part of the reason.
It's 100% of the reason.
You think it's 100% of the reason?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't know, Barry.
Yeah. Well, there's no way. There's no way your confidence levels going into each play is going to stay the same, knowing that you're going to miss things that you shouldn't be missing.
Yeah, but I don't think they've drafted well at all.
Drafting doesn't matter if you're on 150 ping.
Well, what
I think to Aggro's point, they drafted better in this matchup, at least in game one.
Regardless of
how the team fighting went, they gave themselves a better chance out of the draft phase than they have in other sets, is my take.
I don't think they should draft meta. I think they should just draft big AoE circles that are unmissable abilities.
That's what I'm saying.
So that way you can at least have an attempt of a team fight late game.
Yeah.
Just go Terra, Shablanke, Ryzen. Okay. Ryzen is just stupid. Like, I'm so sick of seeing this character in so many SPO matches, dude. Like, Ryzen team at woohoo! Like, dog, I'm so sick of that character.
Yeah,
sorry.
Ryzen, definitely good. TMF.
Paul has gotten one or the other in his last like nine games or something like that. That's kind of wild.
And you know what else is crazy? I was going to bring this up whenever we talked about the Titan sets, but everyone talks, and for good reason, about how Paul continues to get Tiamat for some reason. Why does Aurora keep getting Kepri? It's been like, he is so good on that pick.
Well, it's like, what are you going to ban against him? You have to ban Hell, you have to ban Ryzen, you have to ban Tiamat, now you have to ban Kepri. Then there's also, like, Ardeo you have to worry about now. There's Umoja you have to worry about now. There's Rama kind of creeping up there.
Yeah.
And then there's Erlong.
I think I'm slamming, depending on if I'm first or second pick, I think I'm slamming Tiamat, Kepri, Hellban, and just letting them have Ryzen. If that's, or I'm top picking the Ryzen if I have to. Or, like, you know, Ryzen isn't, I don't know, he's really good, but he's clearly beatable, right? Like, he's on a different... Tiamat, also beatable for what it's worth, but like Kepri changes the way you have to play more than Tiamat or Ryzen does. Hell changes the way you have to play more than Tiamat or Ryzen does. I feel like you can beat Tiamat or Ryzen more easily than like Aurora's Kepri at this point. I think that's really flying under the radar.
Yeah, Kepri just as a pick, like scrimming against that god a lot the past like few weeks is just so annoying to play against. Like you have to play the team fight so awkwardly. And just so differently than, like, full focusing one target, obviously. And then if you do dive, if you choose their whole back line and hit your front line, like, your team fight's basically just over if Kepri has a good two. And it's just so obnoxious to play against.
Do you remember like, that when character you play on release?
Didn't he get nerfed, like, 20 times or whatever? Like
in a row.
Yeah.
In a row. Dave, for context, Kepri on release...
Yeah, it's important here.
...was maybe... Yeah, Dave wasn't playing Smite at the time. Can I, like, go back? I just want to look at, like, Kepri's release kit. That's what I want to look at, because...
I think his 2 was, like, super bloated. I want to say the numbers were, like, way higher than they should be.
Absolutely crazy. His, like, health shield was nuts on his passive. All right, let's go all the way back here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Why, I think his plug is Lucky freezing? Okay. Got changed as well, right? What? Doesn't he get something on his pluck? I thought he got something.
I don't think so. What
is? Now I plug it up.
Here we go. All right. I'm scrolling. Okay. Oh, that was before release. It used to cripple. Then it got changed to that silence. Whenever you ulted someone, they would get insane stats. Like,
oh yeah,
they got power, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And a ton of movement speed. All right, his first patch after being released, he lost 40 base damage on the top end of his one, reduced his shield by 5%, and the allied mitigation was 30 to 50% on his 2. It went down to 20 to 40. Then the 2 got nerfed again, and the 3. Then they changed it so executes went through the alt. He still was good. The 2 was on a 10-second cooldown. It went to 12. And they reduced the revive health. Dude, you used to revive at 60% HP at level 20.
Jeez.
It went from 40 to 60 down to 25 to 45. That is a massive nerf. Mana cost, damage reduction again went from 20 to 40 to 10 to 30. Duration on the 1.
What type of span is this over?
That is, okay, so he got nerfed. He got added in 2.11. He got nerfed in 2.12, 2.13, 2.14, 2.16, 2.17, 2.19, and 3.1.
I don't know what type of patch cycle they were on back then, but that's many. That's a lot. That's a long time.
That is every. It looks like it was every like 2 weeks at the time.
Yeah,
that was. It was nuts.
That's a long time.
Has he been nerfed more than Umoja?
I think so. I think he.
That's
has.
Absurd.
I think he might hold the record for most nerfed god.
Because I know. I'm also kind of tired of Umoja being meta, but hopefully the ult change and the passive change will kind of push her out. The change was this most recent patch, right? Like, she's already on 140? Or no?
I think bonus balance was they removed the bonus healing on the passive and upped her ult cooldown.
Yeah, by 20 seconds. That already it came out, right?
I think that was bonus balance.
Oh, yeah. Good lord. And Bobby looked that good with it. Okay.
Bobby did have a really good game.
Dude.
For sure.
Scarab's frontline, in my opinion, was way outplaying Titan's frontline today.
Yeah.
They looked so good. Soth's rotations were sick. I think Scream had a really good set. Bobby was playing very well. I think if Baronic had a better game one, I think they would have won. Sorry, got way off topic there.
No, we can talk about that set. Who cares? There's no rules here.
That's true.
That's
true.
Let's talk about that set, shall we? Yeah, the Scylla pick I didn't love for Baronic that game.
Yeah.
Scylla just, like, not that good. Dude, that felt so bad the one time on Phoenix defense where he reset his ult and then was just, like, sitting in it forever and then died with both his relics up. Well, because he's still sitting in his ult. Like, oh, that one hurt my heart.
He moved around for so long and it was, like, he came up to the corner and died. And I think if he had a better game one, I think they might have 2-0'd Titans, honestly. Like,
well, we ran into Bobby in the hallway and he was like, man,
he was pissed.
He said we should have won that game. We would win that game like 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm. That was the game that they 50-50'd the fire giant, right? Like,
yeah, right at the end. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if, I mean, it was like Paul who had a big play around the FG, like killed him and got it.
Was that game one that that happened?
I want to say so, because I was a little annoyed by that, and I was just like, why
are am I wrong? Oh, God, I don't know. Paul had so many weird, like, double kills behind on Raijin.
No, because the Scarabs won game two. I feel like that was... No, because they were on Chaos side game three.
Yeah, well, it was game one.
So it had to have been game one. Yeah, it had to have been game one. Yeah, that was wild, bro. They just didn't... They didn't have a single ward around mid-camps, and I don't think Paul knew they were on fire. I think he heard them. I think he was, like, walking through the jungle, and he was like, oh, they're on fire, and then Stu had no relics and just gets absolutely slammed by Raijin, like, 100-0 over the wall. And then I was like, yeah, this is just scuffed. Was Baronic even there for that fire giant? I don't think he was.
It was only Bobby, Scream, and Stu.
Yeah.
But I think Bobby was zoning on bottom side, unfortunately, and they just let the Raijin through. But also, I didn't understand the no crit builds for any hunters. They're just going full team fight, no DPS on objectives, which I don't know if that's... I mean, it's definitely, like, helps your damage a lot. Like, you're feeling good in teamfights, but once you get to pull an objective, it just feels weird.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this, like, chin size dominance sort of build. Both hunters went Leather Cowl, Ikaval, Odibo, chin size, Silver Branch, dominance, and then sold the Ikaval for Titan's Bane. So you get 40% pen on your autos, and that's got to feel pretty good, but you think it's not as good as going crit for objectives?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, your team fight feels so good. Like, you're hitting frontline so hard, but if the game goes to, like, 30 minutes and you're doing that awkward fire giant dance, you basically can never pull the objective because you can never kill it. Like, your DPS time will be forever unless you have, like, a solid healer on your team or a really good engage on your frontline. Just sitting around that objective, you just take so much damage.
Yeah, I think...
Paul had a rage in game three, and that was as critty as we got all set long.
You mean Cyclone? Or
Cyclone, excuse me. Cyclone on Rom had a rage in game three.
Looks like he was building towards Deathbringer when the game ended as well, because he had a hidden dagger. There was one Spectral for Sot that game, but none outside that. It feels to me like the Titans... I was surprised how the Titans played in that set overall, because they got off to, like, Layers was absolutely popping off early game one on the bat. Like, he had so many good engages and so many good alts and, like, ganked two lanes early, got kills. And then they just kind of, like, stalled out the game a little bit. And it kind of reminded me of, like, old Titans, like, earlier in the year, where they kind of didn't, they weren't.
Yeah, I was surprised. Because he was on Rat that game, I feel like.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I'm a small pea brain, but I'm thinking, just fucking, or like, can I swear? Sorry, I didn't mean to swear.
Yeah.
I'll stop swearing. I'm thinking, I feel like he just, I don't know, and again, I'm dumb, but like, I'm just ulting on cooldown if I'm that far ahead. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm finding someone to engage on, you know what I mean? It did feel slow. They ended up winning that one, but, right? They won game one, they one and three, I think they won.
But yeah, but, I mean, it takes Paul looping on fire in order to win it.
Right. Yeah, that was a stressful game, I think. I talked to Benji after. I did the interview with him. I said, so what's the takeaway? Look, he got the win, but it was clearly not what you guys wanted, like the way you wanted it. Mm-hmm. What do you think happened? And he said, everything. so we need to literally work on everything. I said, all right, I guess that makes sense. Like, I guess better to be hypercritical on yourself than feel like you did nothing wrong. But it did feel like they pumped the brakes a bit in game one, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like they were playing not to lose instead of to win a little bit. Like, they're
the old Bengals strategy.
Their decision making just seemed a bit off, and I don't know exactly why, if it was like LAN or if it was the win streak or if it was just an off day, but they definitely did not look as strong as they did against Warriors, in my opinion.
No, I'll agree with that. Dave, did you hear that pretty condescending from Bera at the end of your sentence there? I don't know, I felt that was kind of weird.
Yeah, but you know, it's probably warranted for me. Again, you know, I say things and hope they're right. Mm. Like that right there, you see that from you. Uh-huh. I think all of it warranted. You know, I'm not above realizing that. I'm gonna catch a few stray mm-hmms every once in a while. You know, mm-hmm. with the amount that I talk, it's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do it to myself sometimes.
Uh huh.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That sounds good.
Okay. Indeed.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right. Going back to Friday. Enjoy your whiplash, listener, as you try and keep up with what game we're talking about on Friday. The Bolts and the Oni Warriors. Barry, you guys kind of got slammed a little bit in this set.
Uzumbo.
Yeah, you kind of got bowed upon.
Yeah. There was one time late game at the Duo Phoenix that he literally soloed me by naning me and pushing me through bandits, and I was just like, dog, what?
Yeah.
What is this character?
That's like, the Neomar special.
Yeah, he kind of slam dunked us the whole set. And then I felt pretty stupid because the next day when he didn't get Kuzumbo, they looked like a completely different team. And I was like, oh,
maybe. You think it's just Kuzumbo?
Well, I think Neil just demolishes people on Kuzumbo. And I think that character overall is a little bit underrated right now. And I think that when you're just diving, as they were with, like, the Serb, Kuzumbo, Erlong, like, that is just so hard to play against as a backliner.
Bro,
you literally just get one shot by everything.
This is crazy, man. I'm looking at Neil's player damage numbers. He played Kuzumbo in all three games. Neil, in the game two win, where you guys kind of stomped, well, it wasn't really a stomp, but, you know, 24 minutes, or 34 minutes, 24-7 in kills in your favor. Mm-hmm. Neil did 20,000 damage.
Yep. I remember that.
He outdamaged you. The only two people who outdamaged him in the entire game were Vogt and Ven. Mm-hmm. He did more damage than Dardez and Nika by like a lot. Like, he did 20K that game. That is crazy.
He literally spent all three games ruining me. Like, I did not get to play against
Deso in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt bad for you in game one of that set, Barra. You kind of got sat on. I remember they just chose you. The Oni Warriors chose you, and
like you were their Pokemon,
right? But like reverse Pokemon, he was like the one in the wild, and they just kept throwing their Charizards at him, and
they were farming you for XP.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't worth much eventually, thankfully. The first time they rotated, we were talking about something else, so I didn't hear the call of their mid jungle coming in. So I went up to Draugr, and then I think Ben was like, "Oh, they're there." And then I got tower dove, and then it didn't stop after that. And I just kept dying and dying. Like, I was like, "Oh yeah, give me the Artemis, like it'll be fine." And then it'll they just drafted fine. Like a complete dive. And I was like, "Eh, it's fine. Like, dive's not that great right now. It's whatever. I'll be fine." And then the whole game, I just spent dead. And it was not an enjoyable experience. And then I just did not want to pick the Artemis the rest of that set because our picks and bans were not allowing me to do good on Artemis, basically. And I did not play that game well either. I should have just set my tower literally the entire game and never died. But yeah.
Where's the fun in that?
Exactly, like it's a game one of a set, you know, it's supposed to be a fun time. Like, I'm just not gonna sit in my tower. I feel like on LAN I would have played way safer than just playing online. You just play looser for some reason online, you know? Sure. You just play a little stupider.
Sure. Someone in Brit in chat brings up a good point that you kind of got the Vogt treatment. Like, Vogt, it must have been very relieving for Vogt to see it happening to the other ADC for once.
Yeah, someone else.
And he's just like, man, there really is, like, no counterplay to this unless you literally just sit between your tier 1 and your tier 2.
Yeah, which you could have done.
I could have done that.
You kind of pumped out the Deeps game 3, though. You kind of dropped 30k on their head tops.
Yeah, I played pretty good game 2 and game 3 on the ROM. And I also did not want them to have it because with their, like, complete dive comps with Kuzumbo, they can literally just eliminate a backliner every single team fight. And we didn't really have any dive targets either. I think they went, like, Afro and Hera game 2 and 3, which are pretty cringe.
Yep.
And Dude, game three, I just kept, like, what if
Watch out, Hera. Why's Hera cringe?
Because she just flanks me, drops Argy on my head, and I get one tap.
Oh my god, bro. Game one. Wait, what was the game where he played Hera? Did he only play it once?
Three.
Dude, I thought you guys lost that game whenever at Gold. You and Ven are, like, holding hands. I was literally like, what are they doing? I was watching it thinking, like, what are they doing? And then Dardez, sure enough, just walks around the corner and drops Argus on both of you guys. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, you deserve to lose that fight. Like, that fight should be over.
I did not see the Hera, and I thought that she was getting dove when we were killing their front line. But apparently she was just sitting at that pillar and not playing the team fight. Yep. So, and then after that, the team fight, directly after that, the Izanami vote is dashing in on us. And I'm like,
that was a little wild.
Guys, we can't, like, well, their backline has to be under control. Like, they should be able to get these flanks on me and Vin as their backline. Like, we got to control these guys. And then from the rest of that game on, like, we had really good dives, really good team fights. Once we started, you know, rounding up their backline.
That was a nemesis game for Laz.
Oh yeah, he got like a quadra kill early.
Yep, that's right. He got a quad early, and then it slowed down a little bit, and then Bolts won late anyway. But
yeah, we were bleeding pretty hard that game until he saved us.
Yeah, that was a good Nem game from Laz for sure.
I feel like, you know, I guess, I don't know if you're talking about this later or not,
no,
but like, there's been this conversation about like how this upcoming week, the assassin jungles are going to come back.
Oh.
I feel like we saw like a little sprinkling of that this weekend. I mean, not because of the changes or anything necessarily, but, we had a few assassin games, so we're dipping our toes back into the water. I think
that's right.
Okay. Jungler players are just stupid.
Name, like, three ways in which they're stupid.
Okay, they think their role sucks. Does not suck. It is completely OP. You're just bad.
Okay.
You think warriors are OP? Incorrect. Okay. They're literally just tied with assassins. Assassins are still very strong right now. You just have to pick your fights intelligently on the map, which apparently you're not used to.
Uh-huh.
Number three. Just gank duo lane. It is the freest kills ever. Ever. In SPL, in ranked, in scrims, it's free. I am free. Why are you ganking a breastplate, vamp shroud, Sobek, or whatever their builds are? He's got 100 prots at 2 minutes. Stupid.
I'll agree with that. Stay away from solo lane forever.
Yeah.
There's no point. And duo lane is free ganks.
Yeah, let mid fly under the radar here. Don't,
yeah, exactly.
No one,
don't
no
gank
one
mid. It. No one likes that. Don't blink on me level 2. That's cringe. We don't love that. That is, I think that's a good point, though. You're right. Jungler, okay, look. Jungle, it did need some buffs. They got a lot of them. Barrett, you and I agreed on this show like weeks ago that jungle was really bad.
I didn't know they were going to buff 6 items.
Okay, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Junglers cried all their tears. They were all out. They got what they wanted. But, Barra, this is the thing, okay? They overplayed their hand, and let me tell you why.
Oh.
Whenever your role is bad, okay, and you cry for buffs, and you get a little one, you go, that's not enough. And then you get another little one the next patch, and you go, that's not enough either. And then another one, and that's not enough. And then eventually you got enough to where your role is actually really good, but public perception finally catches up to, oh, they aren't horrible anymore. And by then your role is OP, but no one's going to want to nerf it because public perception just got there that it's even okay.
Right, they're finally good.
Right. Junglers are going from bad, quote unquote, to everyone knows they're going to be busted. After this patch, like, everyone knows it.
Okay.
The community is going to complain instantly that they're overpowered, and some of their buffs are going to get rolled back, and they're going to be weaker than they would have been if they would have just played it patiently.
That's fair. Well, I don't think that they should have got their entire Mage Tree outside of Titan's Bane buffed. That seems like a lot to me. You know, that's a lot of buffs.
It's
plus Trans. Okay,
they
I
need
feel
a bus,
like also
to be fair, but
Frey, the Frey DC, I feel like I'm in an Uller meta or non-Uller meta. You know?
How do you mean by that?
Because it's either I have fun or I don't have fun.
Oh. Is the Uller meta where you're having fun?
Yeah, I actually love, you know, checking every corner for an Axeman standing there, ready to get my beads.
Dave, like I feel like movie. I asked him a question and he said yes, but he meant no. Why did he do it?
I don't know. I mean, it sounded like a horror movie script, Axeman and everything. I guess it makes, it's probably what it's like playing against Uller.
Oh,
right?
You don't like playing against Chalk. We can nerf Chalk, that's fine.
When was the last time that god was good?
When he was released, he was really good.
Wasn't he immune to damage in his ult?
Yeah, he was damage immune in his ult, which he basically is now. He gets like 80% reduction.
Oh.
It's crazy. And he had a massive attack speed slow on his reign, which he now has again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that no one auto attacks in solo lane anymore, so like that's not that good. Wait, Chuck's,
that's a lot of work.
Chuck's gotta be OP. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. You sound like Andy right now. You bring up a character, and then he talks about the character for like
talk
2 seconds.
Yourself into it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you go, wait, that's gotta be good. Yeah, no, okay, but I'm right when it comes to this
His
one.
His silence is long and annoying.
Yeah, he's got a pretty low cooldown ult.
Mm-hmm. He just got a big buff on his 2, I think, so you can teleport all the time.
What?
Yeah, it was like in this upcoming patch or the patch before this one. His Chalk 2 got a hard buff on cooldown.
Oh, that's what you mean by that. Okay, I was like, what?
What?
That I thought it was like that you could 3 and then still 2 or something like that.
Oh, no.
That would actually it is good. Not. It'll be on Tuesday, I suppose. This guy's got to be good, man.
Yeah, got to be. 100%. Same with Bacchus. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be good.
Okay, that character is unreasonably tanky.
Bacchus?
Yeah.
I like playing Bacchus.
I don't know why people don't play Bacchus, honestly. I think his 3 sucks, but I think his other buttons are pretty good.
His other buttons are really good. I feel like that's a Jake god, too. Like, it just lets you get in there without thought.
I think that's my problem, is I'm relying on my teammates to follow me instead of, like, me bringing someone to them. I have to hope that they're in behind me. Yeah. I don't like it for that reason, but I do think Bacchus is fun.
Resistor says Bacchus is bad. He has no one. His one is just think of it as a protections buff. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good ability.
It's where it gives you magical power, I feel. Kind of just a weird stat. I feel like it should give you like mitigation or something, but maybe he already has mitigation on his passive.
He has a lot of mitigation on his passive.
10% when he smashed.
That's just like all the time, though. You just have 10% mitigation. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're right on this one, fellas. He's got to be good.
Right? I mean,
somebody's played Bacchus this year, right? Didn't Neil play Bacchus?
Yeah, I think Neil was playing Bacchus a little bit.
I think he's only good with old Mirrodin.
No, he's certainly fine without
old Mirrodin. I'm the poster child for Mirrodin supports.
That's true. That's Dave's iconic. Here's a funny story about Dave. When we, so this would have been, 2 years ago, right, Dave? Because you've been
casting. It would have been early 2019, right?
Early 2019, when Dave was going to be joining the Smite team for casting.
Or maybe, it would be 2020 then. Early 2020.
No, really?
Yeah. 2019 was Paladin's year.
Was last year your first year casting Smite?
Smite, yeah.
God, you're nuts. Let's go. Early 2020, when Dave had not played like any Smite really at all before that, because Paladins Esports was winding down and we needed people to join the Smite team, and Dave was killing it on Paladin, so it was an obvious fit. And we're like, all right, Dave, like, you know, during the off season, we're gonna go in and do more like play tests with the dev team, like we often do during the off season.
Yeah, fun for me.
and you can just join these, and like, it'll be a good way to catch you up to speed. And of course, they just like we stick them in support where you normally throw the noobs. And Dave goes Geb in his first ever playtest. He picks Geb. Had you played Geb before, Dave?
I was like familiar, you know. Okay. I was like, all right, freaking stick a shield on someone and you'd knock some people up, and
right.
You know, like I knew what he did, but I was not adept at all.
Okay. And Dave goes, did you even build boots? Or did you go? I don't know if you did.
Oh, man.
I think you forgot boots.
I know it's not allowed. I know it's not allowed, but like I came from league where
you
usually finish an item and then boots. Right. So like that was still fresh on my mind.
Yeah, Dave build in this playtest, Dave builds first item Staff of Myria on
It was suggested to me. It was on the suggested screen. I was like, surely this is good. It says I can use stuff twice. It's gotta be good.
And Pon, like, I love Pon to death, instantly gets tilted by Dave buying Mirrodin first without boots. And to
Dave's
credit...
Yeah, I'm looking around like, what do you expect? Like, what I'm just...
To Dave's credit, he did ult 2-2 me that game, because I was playing against him, and he, like, slammed me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's also where the bit of Dave on Ganesh started, because... that was the god where Dave felt like he was making the most impact, and I would agree with that.
I could Ganesh, silence,
were,
and that's it.
Yeah, you just did it. Right, you were just instantly doing it.
That was a fun journey.
You made a big play on an Athena support game that I can remember.
I remember I had a 4-man taunt, I think, to win us the play test.
I believe,
I'm remembering correctly,
I believe that is true. Yep. It is also worth noting that. I did have to, like, I remember having to tell you, Dave, just have your dash charged. And I'd be like, okay, taunt those guys. And, like, I literally played Dave's character for him.
I played like 10 hours of Smite, and they're sticking me up against the guys who make the freaking game. And I'm like, then I'm playing against someone else in support who's clearly knows what they're doing. And then my mid lane's getting ganked while I'm like roaming jungle wondering what I should be. I mean, God, it was brutal. I was forged in the worst circumstances.
It was a trial by fire for Dave Olsen. There's no doubt about that.
And I melted.
How serious are the playtests? Like, how
it depends.
Are people sweating? Or
yeah, does it depend? They're serious. What?
No, like, come on, Dave. They aren't all the same intensity.
I have never tilted a room of people more than whenever I logged into a playtest.
For what it's worth, I was never tilted at all. I don't think people do get tilted at times, myself included. And just like with any sort of competitive game, like when we've got. We call them like the competitive play tests where we like try and get the 10 best people in the studio. Mm. So like it'll be like Pon Pon, Clumsy, me, Chaos, Skilly. Like,
you.
Yeah, I'm getting in there, Bera. That's right. Don't condescend me like that. Lermy, like you can get some pretty sweaty play tests in there for sure. But they aren't all that way. You know, sometimes we have play tests where it's specifically designed to like, we'll give someone who is a lower level player a new god and like get their feedback for how the kit flows and that kind of stuff. Cause that's also, equally important for like trying to figure out new items and you know, how big changes feel and that kind of stuff, because the vast majority of our players aren't at the level of like Pon Pon and Chaos and Skilladon, like they're at, you know, random chatter. Oh. Level.
A little off topic, is Charybdis available this week or next week?
No, is it a week after they're available in ranked?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So she's available in ranked Tuesday.
Yeah, oh, okay, gotcha.
Another week or two.
So it'll be one more week after that.
I don't know if she's gonna be good, because I feel like she's hard to gank, but easy.
I feel like I do no damage on that character.
Yeah, dude, I played a Cupid game today, and there's something bugged with that character.
You weren't dealing enough damage, or you're dealing too much?
I was dealing nothing. I was tickling them. The same, like, Hunter build that everyone else is going, and I just did not do damage. It was so weird. Like, nothing did damage.
I doubt it was bugged.
No, it's definitely bugged.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
100%.
Don't play Cupid, I guess, until further notice. Dave, did you ever feel like you were kind of getting, like, you were kind of getting screwed by the man in those playtests, you know, the man was keeping you down. Is that fair to say?
Who's the man in the scenario?
You know, the man, like.
Did you, right. Just the proverbial systemic system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I tried to have a good head about it. Like I went in knowing that I was easily the worst person in the room and I was there more for moral support.
Right.
Because I would make my team laugh at least once a game, which
that is
you know, is important.
That's big.
But I rarely left one of those play tests happy, for what it's worth. Because and it was not for anyone's doing. No, nobody said or did anything to me. I just felt like I was wasting people's time as a player who is – I'm still learning what everyone does, what the characters do.
Right.
And we're trying to get, like, meaningful feedback, and I'm, like, like ruining the whole thing. It felt that way. So, I think – I had some speaking with the man to do after a few of those play tests. But
well, I got some speaking with Big Wireless to do about how their contracts are hosing us all. Am I right, Vera? Up top, you were ready for it. Yeah, I know you were. Luckily, we got.
Oh, you knew that was a bit.
We got Mint Mobile to save us from Big Wireless. Here's the deal with Mint Mobile, Dave. You might want us to be sitting down for this. I don't know if you are because you don't have your webcam on.
I am cheeks and seat. Yep.
Okay, great. You're going to need those cheeks to stay connected because they might be going to the floor when you hear that all plans now come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network, okay?
What? Is that true?
That is true. You can use your own phone number with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. You probably thought you were going to have to lose all your contacts, Dave, but you don't, stupid. and Dave, you might be thinking, what if I'm not 100% satisfied? I don't know why you wouldn't be, but just in case you aren't, Mint Mobile has got you covered with their 7-day money back guarantee. So Dave, you must be thinking this service is going to cost me an arm and a leg.
Arm and a leg. Yep.
Maybe even both arms and both legs. You're going to be a little vegetable rolling around on the ground, but at least you'll have, but at least you'll have great mobile service. Well, I've got some news for you, Dave, you big idiot. You can switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service for starting at just $15 a month. Can you believe that?
I can't. Are you done? Can I reply?
No, I'm not done. You know I'm not done. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped straight to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/backliners. That's mintmobile.com/backliners. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/backliners. Dave, you had something to say?
I can rebuttal now?
Yeah, you're allowed.
So here's the thing. That is an incredible deal by Mint Mobile.
Yeah, it sure is.
My phone is just dry as hell, so like, you know, keeping all of my contacts, while important, doesn't mean much for me at this stage in life. But I think that's a fantastic deal that you shouldn't pass up if that's given right. The chance.
Well said, Dave. All right, how about the Camelot Kings versus the Atlantis Leviathans? How about we go over the third SPL game of the week? Because we're 45 minutes in, and that's where we are.
Well, was there any doubt that when I joined, we would get anything done? I derailed us from minute one.
I don't want to be on the rails. Can I admit that to you guys? I don't want to be on the rails really ever.
I got a talking to about that already this week.
I was going to say, man, thank God Deathwalker doesn't listen to the podcast. Am I right, fellas? That's a zinger. That's a zinger.
That was a zinger.
Thank you.
So what happened there, by the way?
I don't know. Okay, here's my unfiltered take, because I'm allowed to say what I want on my podcast.
Darn right.
There are times where during SEC games, we lose it a little bit. And I'm sure that is not what SEC players would like to hear during their games. You know, those guys work hard and put in a lot of practice and put in a lot of work to improve. And they want the same energy that we give to the SPL. And in a perfect world, I think that makes sense. But the reality is that we cast a lot of smite and we need time. I think it's just like normal for us to want to have some time for us to have a little bit more fun. And the SEC is the most important. It's the easiest place to do that. I don't buy in at all to us disrespecting those teams. I don't think that I've heard it. You know, I don't listen to every minute of every cast for SEC in particular, but I don't feel like that's ever been the case. And obviously that isn't acceptable. But if there's if we're 35 minutes into a game and there's 4 kills and it doesn't seem like there's going to be a whole lot of action for the next 5 to 10 minutes. I'm going to talk about what show I'm watching. Because our job at the end of the day is to entertain the viewer. And if I'm bored, then I know they're bored. Like, I know it. Because I'm the biggest Smite geek I know. Like, I appreciate the little things more than anyone that that is watching, I think. And if I'm bored, then I've got to try and keep the viewer entertained. And if I'm talking for the 15th time about, God, I can't wait until a 500 pot comes through for the mid laner, because then they're going to have 10% more CDR and they're going to be able to cast their abilities more, I'm not doing my job, in my opinion. And the beautiful thing about casting is that it's an art form and it's not a science. And it is a matter of opinion. It's very subjective. And that's why I stand by our ability to go off the rails. And that includes during SBL casts, because, again, our job is to entertain, and I'm going to do what I think is entertaining. And people don't have to like that.
I didn't see the cast. I just saw the tweets. And I assumed you guys were, like, saying just, like, mean things about the SEC player.
Oh,
like,
no.
Never. Literally never.
No, I mean, for context, I'll take aggro's bailout here. I'll just say ditto to everything aggro just said. Actually, the way he described it's pretty perfect. It was like a 35-minute game and like a handful of kills that happened, and we'd really slowed down, and Mifflin and I goofed a little bit, and then when the fights happened, we went back to casting and analyzing.
Well, I feel like that happens in SPL too, right? If it's like nothing happening, or like, no offense, but if it's like a Valk set, then you kind of just like
gotta keep the viewer entertained. Gotta give them a reason to watch. And, you know, those guys are good players, for sure. Maybe we haven't given EU-SEC enough credit. You know, we often talk about how slow-paced they are and that kind of stuff. And they've gotten faster-paced this year. But there were times in previous years, man, where we knew we were buckling up for 20 minutes before we saw first blood.
Yep, I remember those games.
Like, when that's what the prevailing memory is, then sometimes it takes a little bit to shake that. EU-SEC is fun to watch, don't get me wrong. I don't want you guys to think that we don't like watching it. They've got a really good region and a lot of really good players. They've got a team in Team Joystick that's kind of come out of nowhere and been really good with players whose names I have no idea who they are. And I think they're new to the competitive scene, and they've been really sick, and that's really fun to watch. But yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, I could have simply said, our job is to entertain, and I think this is a better way to entertain than talking about the minutia of this game. And if you disagree, then that's fine. Cause that's what my point really boils down to.
Also true.
I mean, I agree with that as well. For SBL games as well. Like, if there's nothing happening, like, you might as well talk about, like, what you had for breakfast at that point.
That's right. Which is nothing. I never eat
chicken breakfast. And waffles, by the way.
Yeah, you slam. Dude, those chicken and waffles today in the green room, oh, they were looking really
See, every Sunday's my cheat day, as we now know because of the wing conversation.
Right.
I have chicken and waffles, some variety of pancakes, and then bacon or sausage, and I had all three this morning, and it was great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds that does sound really good. Mm. Dave, have you ever considered having 7 days a week being cheat day? Because that's where my thing is. But then also being annoyed and frustrated when you don't lose weight and instead.
I have considered it. Okay. I consider it most days. Uh-huh.
Just give it a shot. Sometime.
Like self like reflection turns on, and I'm like, dang. Never mind, we're getting like depresso mode here. I'll trust you.
Fair enough.
I'm like, I gotta hang my happiness on something. It might as well be the gym.
And sure.
There you go.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about this King's Leviathan set that I've been trying to talk about for a while.
The easiest way is basically Kings played very sloppy. I think that is not a normal set for Kings. I mean, Leviathan's played very good, but the amount of times that Kings did not play as their circle team comp blew my mind. They kept getting picked. Their front line kept being out of position, and they just looked so sloppy. And Leviathans literally took advantage of it every single time. And they kept getting to the Leviathans kept getting into those like roadblocks of the Kings team comps at mid game, regardless of the lead that they had. And then a Kings frontliner would die, and then they get an objective. And then a King's frontliner would die, and they get Fire Giant, and then the Towers, and then the Phoenix. And that was both games, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think that's kind of a bad matchup for them in the Leviathans, because I think that maybe above any other backline besides maybe the Titans, I think if you don't pressure Shinto Zap, you just insta-lose. And Hellcomps don't pressure backline. Like, by design, they don't. And I think that you just... you have to play so perfectly to beat the Leviathans by if your number one strategy isn't pressure Shinto's app.
Yeah.
Barry?
And Harry kept dying in laning phase, like, over and over again.
Getting ganked on.
And they were not giving him help. Like, nope. That was weird. Sorry, you can continue.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, I remembered after Barrett mentioned it, that was the game where the Leviathans just kind of chose Variety to be the one. They Pokemon Variety. I remember, you and I might have been on the desk for that game, Aggro.
We were.
Yeah, that was kind of the continued trend of just there was the back line for the Leviathans was just untouched basically the entire game, it felt like. Yeah. And you can't win a game of Smite like that.
No, you cannot. That's going to be tough. Other sets of the week that we didn't really talk about, Warriors, Titans, Warriors didn't get Kuzumbo.
I was sad that the Warriors didn't show up as well as they did earlier in the weekend.
I agree.
Admittedly.
I agree.
I still have hope. I have hope for the squad, but...
Neil's coming here, right? Soon? This week or something?
Yeah, this week, I believe. He arrives. So get ready to golf, gang. Dave. So yep. Yeah, it's time for us to break them out again.
Less protein, more tea times. I get it.
Yeah, that's right. Who needs it? Dave, you're not... Never mind. We can't talk about it yet, but you shouldn't be needing to buy gym like that stuff soon anyways, right?
No, you're right. Okay. Right. Yeah, hopefully.
That's a little teaser for you.
Ooh.
And then the other set of the week was the earlier one today, which was Leviathan's Valkyries. Valkyries, again, looked pretty good in game one. I thought their team comp was really good. I thought they executed the team comp really well. Ducky was playing really well.
Those rotations were so good by Duck.
Yeah, he played sick. And then game two, I don't know. They did the usual.
I feel like, I think what was cool about game one and even earlier on in the weekend from the Valkyries is it feels like the Valkyries, they've definitely had leads early in games before. Like, it's not unlike them to find leads, but like when they lose them, you rarely see them get them back. I felt like a couple times this weekend they actually had pretty good mid games when they were like behind or even, and they like stayed relevant in the games, and then unfortunately the late game didn't quite work out. So I think I saw better Valkyries, and so that's a good trend. We're happy about that.
Yep.
Still some stuff to clean up though.
Did they get Fire Giant game one and then throw on a duo tier two today? That was Valks?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I remember you... I want to say it was you talking about that. Maybe you were on the desk.
No, I was casting that game. Yeah, it was me.
Okay. I remember you saying something about like them not being used to like being in that situation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a little not so subtle shade, but...
Yes.
Dude, okay, wait. I had Gore look up the stat afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me how many Fire Giants the Valkyries have gotten this year?
I would say five.
That was my guess. This answer is going to blow you away. They've gotten 17 Fire Giants this year.
When? What?
I think like three were enhanced and 14 were not enhanced.
How many games have they won?
I'm gonna see if I can look this up quickly.
I think they've won like five or six individual games. They've won two sets.
They're against Warriors, right?
They won against the Warriors and they won against the Scarabs. I was like blown away. There was that many.
Yeah.
But I trust Gore stats.
I don't remember that, honestly. But yeah, I was talking about that on my stream today. I was just like, every time I get excited for Valks, they lose. Like, every single time, I'm like, oh, they're getting a lead. Like, they're playing early games so clean. These invades are sick. And then it's like old SSG where, like, something happens and then they just lose. And, yeah, I mean, I just feel bad for them that they have to, like, team fight with that ping. God. I just feel like you're making so many instantaneous decisions of, like, relics or buttons that have to happen at a certain time, and when those aren't going off, it just changes the whole team fight. Like,
Bear, imagine if we were doing the podcast the year you were on that SSG squad. How depressing.
Oh my gosh. That would be so bad, bro. That it would be straight up therapy. I would have to pay you.
I don't think we would still be doing it. Can I say that? No. I think you would have quit. Yep. And understandably so.
That year was awful. That was a true mental test of double scrimming every day during the week. And then losing on the weekend. Regardless of how the games went, it was always a loss. And, like, that's what I was talking about earlier with the ping affecting Valks. Like, I know what it's like to be in that headspace of, like, regardless of what you do, you're going to lose. And you don't realize it in the moment of how, like, negative your mental is. Like,
sure.
It doesn't matter. We're going to lose anyways. Man, Dave, like,
because that was 2019, right? That was season 5. Mm-hmm. Season six
was 2019.
Right, yeah. That was season 6. So Dave probably was doing research and was like, damn, this Barra guy stinks. He was on a team that lost all the time last year.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I distinctly remember, I was like, I'm never going to have to, you know, learn this guy. He's going to be out of the league next year by the time I'm rolled around. I don't need to know who this dude is. And lo and behold.
Respectfully.
No, I'm completely kidding.
Yeah.
Dave. Oh, even if you weren't, I would completely understand.
Hey, Dave, you want to talk about that one problem you had that we talked about before the podcast at work today?
Oh, man, I talked about a lot of problems at work today.
No, like that one where it feels like you're being followed around the internet or like maybe advertisers know a bit too much about you.
Yeah, it feels like every time I pick up my phone, everything about me is just out there. You know, it's right. I hate it.
Well, here's the good news, Dave. Our new sponsor, IPVanish VPN, is here to help you take your privacy back and help become anonymous on the internet. Dave, this is where you ask, what is IPVanish?
What is it? Tell me about it.
So IPVanish is a virtual private network, or a VPN for short. And a VPN is an important tool that helps you safely browse the internet for whatever heinous things you're looking at, Dave. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, all of your data is encrypted, especially that like heinous stuff that you're looking at, Dave.
Right.
Making sure
that's the most important stuff to be encrypted.
Right. Exactly. That's important, Dave, because what you're doing on the internet is no one's business but yours. I was about to crack
that's
a joke.
That's what I'm saying.
I was about to crack a joke like, that's important, Dave, because you would get arrested if they saw. But then that had a really bad connotation. So I didn't want to say it, but then I did anyways.
Good.
Yeah, because it was really fun. here's the good news, though, because you qualify as a listener for this show. IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off their annual plan, equal to 6 months free. And chat, that is only available to Dave. I've got bad news there.
That's a lot of cores.
That deal is only available to Dolson. What's that? I'm getting something. Oh, actually, it's available to everyone, not just Dolson. That was really good acting by me. IPVanish is super easy to use. You turn it on with a click of a button, and it runs seamlessly in the background, helping to protect you while you're browsing the web. And if you do run into a problem, no worries. IPVanish has 24/7 support available by email, chat, and telephone. So, Dave, you want to go to IPVanish.com/back to claim your 65% savings. Their annual plan is just $44.99 for the first year with our exclusive discount. This is absolutely the time to sign up. And Dave, you must be thinking that we're hawking some absolute garbage out here.
I can't believe this.
There's no way IPVanish for just $44.99 for the first year could be good enough. But Dave, that's where you're wrong, you big moron. It's rated 4.7 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. And you must be thinking, they only got a couple of reviews. No, Dave, why aren't you listening? It's more than 6,000 reviews, and they have 4.7 out of 5 stars. So don't take our word for it. Remember, it's IPVanish.com/back to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. Dave, make sure you do that, because I don't want you to get in trouble for the heinous stuff you...
I do have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What are all those tables for?
The tables. Well, tables are my job. I don't know.
That was a real small target, and it might have hit for a couple people.
There you go. I'm glad we did it. You know, Barra didn't like I Think You Should Leave.
No, it was not funny.
Barra, I think you should leave.
I agree. Thank you. Maybe Dave and I just do the podcast from here.
That's fine. I'll watch.
Okay, cool. We gotta And Barra, since you're a viewer, you could get IP Vanish for 60.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't want to do it if I'm gonna be catching strays every time I come on.
I don't know. Sorry, Dave. I'm just in a weird mood that I was deciding.
It's all right. I'm an easy target, and that's why I need IP Vanish.
And that's why you're not an easy target, because you're such an easy target. That's right. And Dave, remember, it's ipvanish.com/back in order to get that 65% discount. All right, that does it for this week, except for our random question of the week, which, as per usual, I have not prepared and will now sit in silence for 5 seconds while I...
Can I ask a question while you think of that question?
Yeah, absolutely. Can yours just be the random question of the week? Is it related to Smite in any way? Because then it doesn't qualify.
No, it's not.
Okay, perfect. Dave, take it away with the random question of the week.
Well, see, I don't know if this is... All right, I'll say it and you can tell me if it applies to the segment
or
not.
Sure, go ahead.
Do your animals that you own... hopefully that you own, that are inside your house. Do they destroy their, like, toys and things? Like, do they de-stuff all the stuff that you buy them?
Not all of it, no. Mackenzie is selective. She will she will just obliterate some toys. Like,
got it.
10 minutes flat, that thing is toast. Others, she has had since she was a puppy. She's 5 years old. She's had one since she was a puppy that she hasn't destroyed. She's had one, like one a year, she will just decide, I love this thing, and then won't destroy it. All others are subject to brutal murder instantly.
Yeah, I in the time that we've done the podcast, I looked over at my living room, and there is one very flat Baby Yoda and a whole lot of fuzz all over the place.
Ramsey.
And she did it quietly, dude.
I love that from her. That's great work by her.
So now I gotta clean. Ramsey,
how do cats handle? Do they destroy? I don't think they do, right?
Some of them do, but mine do not. Mine are very gentle with toys. Luna wants to climb on everything. We'll tear down like stuff we've like hung up around the living room now. She tries to jump on this holder of like all of her plants. She tried to jump on these jars we have on the wall. Destiny put up like a moon thing yesterday, and Luna's trying to climb up the wall and tear that down. So it's more of not the toys. It's more of just furniture or blinds or any of that stuff.
I feel like cats are such a crapshoot, even more than dogs. Like, you have no idea what you're getting from a cat, really, ever.
And it depends on the day as well. Like, sometimes Luna will be super sweet and, like, super nice, and then the next day she will literally get into literally everything. Like, she'll climb all over the kitchen while you're cooking. She'll try to go outside every time you leave. Like, she will literally sprint outside, and I'm like, dog, you're literally, like, 10 pounds. Like, something is going to kill you. And she's like a teenager right now. It's crazy.
She's just a little beast. That's all there is to it. All right. Well, thanks, Dave, for coming on and being the subject of my roasting.
Can you imagine how scary house cats would be if they were big?
They'd be terrifying. Because they're fast and they're
almost like they're mean. Like a lion in the jungle is what I was getting at there. That was a bad joke. Send us out, please.
How stupid am I that I didn't think of a lion for half a second? I literally just imagined like. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style, like, house cat. And I was like, damn, that would suck. Okay, something about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It did give me an intense, not intense is too strong a word, I suppose. It did give me a healthy respect for ants and how they would totally beat the hell out of us if we were just smaller than them.
I was thinking about how far they travel. Like, across my parents' front yard must feel like... the backpacking across the states, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
What if we're the bad guys? What if, like, ants are the main character? What if ants are the main character? Well, that's a good point, Bear. We definitely are the bad guys.
Yeah, we definitely are the bad guys.
But, like, what if, like, ants have a consciousness like ours, and they just live in, like, an Attack on Titan-style world where there's just these giants?
No, they smell sweet things and eat it. I think that's...
And that's different from me, how?
You know that you're smelling sweet things and eating it.
Are you sure? That ants don't?
That ants don't?
Yes, and I'm going to say that so I can live with myself.
I, for one, welcome our ant overlords.
You know what that cat thing reminded me of?
What's that?
And I won't interrupt your throw to exit anymore after this. That one time we were doing the Green Room podcast, and I told that really long Everyone Knows Dave joke, and I messed it up at the end.
That was so good. I wish I could listen back to that. That was so funny. Dave went on this, like,
it was
epic joke, and then, I mean, it was, like, at least 5 minutes of, uninterrupted Dave talking for this joke, and then he completely messes up the punchline. Like,
that was great.
Obliterates it. I don't know the smite equivalent of what Dave did to that punchline. He, like, boosh beads and then, like, had the ROM roll thing where you roll in instead of rolling out. And it just looked like he hard-inted, but he did.
Yeah, that was bad.
He hard-inted it.
Okay, I'm done speaking.
Absolutely iconic moment from you, Dave. One of my favorites for sure. All right, well, thanks for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure you're checking out IPVanish. Again, it's ipvanish.com/backed for 65% off, or mintmobile.com/backliners, and that is for $14.99 a month for your mobile phone, which is a great deal. We'll be back next week on Monday, I believe. Next week is going to be a show, because I will not be here on Sunday. I'm going to the beach. Let's go get away, as they say. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. Make sure you're checking out Predictions, other great shows. They got them for a bunch of different esports, so you can check those out. And we'll see you next week on Monday. Barry, you know what to do.
Bye.